May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who remembers what we talked about last week? What season are we in? What season are we in? It is the fall season, but the church season that we are in, way in the back. It is Advent. That's right. And what does that word mean? Do you remember? The word Advent. It means coming. That's right. Who's coming? Jesus is coming. That's right. And we are waiting. Wait. Now, Jesus has already come, has he not? Didn't Jesus come? Joe, did Jesus come? Jesus came a long time ago. So we are waiting to celebrate how Jesus came. But we're also anticipating and waiting. And that's really what Advent is all about. It is a season of waiting. And how we patiently wait. But we confidently wait for Christmas. I know all of your minds are thinking Christmas. And we are patiently waiting for Christmas to come when we actually celebrate how Jesus did come long ago. How God came as Emmanuel that we just sang about. What does that word mean? Emmanuel? You remember? It tells us that Jesus is God with us. That's right. God with us. And so we celebrate how God came to be with us in his son Jesus, and what a great time that is. We wait for that patiently, but confidently, because we know it's going to come. In a couple of weeks, it will already have been here. So we're really anticipating all the joy that comes with that. But we're also waiting, not just for Christmas. Advent reminds us that we are waiting for Jesus to do what? Not just come long ago, but do you know, Hector? Well, he has come to forgive our sins, but we're actually waiting for Jesus to come again because Jesus promised that he would. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. And who finds waiting to be easy? Now, waiting is hard, isn't it? Especially when we're waiting for something that we're not all excited. How many of you like waiting at the dentist office? I don't like waiting at the dentist office because they're going to pick on my teeth and what's the worst part is they're going to take that dental floss and they're going to jam it down into your gums and that kind of hurts. I'm not really waiting for that. I don't find that all that exciting. So it's really hard when I have to wait at the dentist office for an hour knowing that I'm going to not really be all that pleased at the end anyway. But waiting is a whole lot easier when we know that what we're waiting for is really worth the wait. When we know that it is going to be awesome. And Christmas is awesome. Of course it is. All we have to do is just take a look around. Christmas is an awesome season that's filled with all kinds of special activities. It's a special season that has special treats and eats. How many of you have things that you get to eat at Christmas that you don't get to eat at any other time of the year? My dad makes these awesome cookies, vanilla bean cookies. They're crescent cookies. And you know, here's the thing. My mom and dad would always make them with butter. You know, cookies made with butter, and they pulled out the butter at Christmas time. There's nothing like that, okay? Those are awesome cookies. I only get them once a year, okay? And I know a lot of people, they don't like fruitcake. And I don't get to eat that very much anymore either because my mom has passed away. But she made this awesome fruitcake that I really looked forward to and loved. Don't get that very often. But the only time you see fruitcake is when? At Christmas time, that's right. And I'm telling you, my mom's fruitcake, that stuff you buy in the store, I don't like that either. But my mom made an awesome fruitcake. There's just things that we get to eat at Christmas that we don't get to eat any other time of the year. And then there are these awesome Christmas displays. How many of you like to go see lights like that? Maybe lights like that or like that. That's pretty neat. You get some... Or like that. There's more. There's some more. Or one more. That's pretty cool. I would really like to be... I think that's probably like London at Christmas time. You can go ahead and hit the next one. Those are really special. Special Christmas lights. We may like to drive... I can remember again when I was about your age, my mom and dad would take us and we would drive around the community. A lot of people would have lights and we would see them. And then as a dad, I got to do that. I got to take my kids around and see the light displays. Maybe some of you have been to the awesome light display up in East Peoria with the Festival of Lights. You may even have some special displays, awesome displays of lights going on at your house. Maybe your Christmas tree is really super special. Or mom and dad have set out some light displays of some other kind. Or maybe your teachers have some things, some special awesome Christmas decorations. It's an awesome time of the year. But as cool as all of these displays are, they really are only a small little glimpse or hint at the real awesomeness of our God and what He can do and what He has done and what He is doing, what He did do that very first Christmas. Though admittedly, that very first Christmas, it didn't really look all that awesome on the surface. Because Bethlehem was just a backwoods town out in the middle of nowhere. And Mary was an ordinary girl, and Joseph was a carpenter. He was a builder. You might think of him as a construction worker. That's what he did. And those who came to that very first Christmas party, they weren't big, important dignitaries either. They were shepherds. They were farmers. Guys who got their feet dirty, you know, stepping in the manure all day, tending to the animals, not important dignitaries and kings. I know you're going to tell me, but Pastor, there were three wise men that came. We three kings of Orient are. But really, that first Christmas, the wise men were not there. They didn't come that first Christmas. It took them about 2 years to show up to see Jesus. And so that very first Christmas was not all that spectacular on the outside, on the surface. Mary and Joseph were ordinary people living in a very small, ordinary town, and there were no outstanding neon Christmas lights and blinkers and flashers indicating, oh, here it is. Remember, what did the shepherds had to go look for a sign, and the sign was not a big neon sign. The sign was, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger in an animal stall. Nothing all that spectacular. You might say, well, there was a light. There was a light. There was a light in the sky, a star, a special star to guide them. But that was it. But that's okay. That's okay because our God's most awesome work is not in all the wrapping paper. And our God's awesome work is not in all the packaging. And our God's most awesome work is not in any kind of real show or display. But what does the psalmist say today? You can look, it's right up here. His awesomeness is in his deeds towards the children of man. Psalm 66 directs worshipers to some of God's awesome works. The psalmist invites, come and see what the Lord has done. That's right. Come see what the Lord has done. It's not all in the wrappings. It's in the things that he was doing. And at the time, God's awesomeness was in full display, and the people were very much aware of how awesome God was as they thought back to how God had mightily delivered them out of the hand of Egypt. Do you remember that story? And the plagues, and how Moses came and said, let my people what? Let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, no. But the Pharaoh eventually said yes, because the plagues got so bad, God convinced him to let God's people go. Of course, then they were standing on the shores of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changed his what? He changed his mind, and he came after them. God's people didn't have any place to go. So what did they do? They prayed. Moses raised his staff, and God divided the waters, and they walked through on what? on dry ground. That's what we heard in the psalm today. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. God mightily delivered his people. He gave them an awesome rescue. And yet that rescue was only part and parcel of the awesome plan, a greater plan that God was planning to accomplish, not just for them, but that he would accomplish through them. A rescue plan that God was planning, not just for them, but that he was planning for everybody, for you and for me. A rescue plan, not just from a foreign power in a foreign land, but a rescue plan from sin and death and all of the hell that it brings on God's creation, on you and me. Because you see, we're not all that awesome. Now, I know some of you can pull off an awesome shot on the basketball court. I know that some of you girls can pull off an awesome kill on the volleyball floor. I know that some of you can sing a rather awesome song or draw a rather awesome picture. I know that you have some rather awesome moments. We all have certain moments in our life where we do certain things, where we shine. But more often than not, those moments are not shining moments. More often than not, we're still sinful people who do not please God, who are not all that awesome in anything or anything that we do, might do, or say. And no decorations are going to cover it up. No decorations are going to make us look better. When you cheated on a test and you got caught, I don't care how decorated you are, it ain't going to look any better, is it? When you're using some foul language and you get caught, I don't care how you decorate that up, it ain't going to make it look any better, is it? When you're caught fighting out on the playground and you get caught, there isn't any amount of decoration that you try and put together. In fact, I promise you, and you already know this, if you try and decorate it up, if you try to make it go away, if you try and come up with excuses and justifications for the things that you have done, what happens? You only get yourself into what? Into more trouble. No decoration will make you appear more awesome before God in your sinful state. And yet here's a really, really awesome thing. That God still chooses to love you. That God still chooses to make you his children. And that God chooses to go to tremendous lengths to rescue you, to rescue us all. That God goes to tremendous lengths, awesome power, to promise a Savior who would come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through that people who were stuck in slavery. He chooses to send a promised Savior out of the line of David. King David, the psalmist, the one who is writing many of the psalms that we've been learning about. He promises to send a Savior. But not just to say the promise, not just to give his word, but actually to deliver on everything that he has said. So what do we hear every Christmas? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior. You know, that Savior that I promised. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It's the awesome gift that keeps on giving. And better than the Jelly of the Month Club, you know what the Jelly of the Month Club, you just get one jelly after another every month. It's a gift that keeps on giving, except that this is better because this gift really does keep on giving, not once a month. It keeps on giving every time you and I fail. It keeps on giving year after year after year, and it doesn't pause for this one or that. It's there all the time. It is truly the gift that keeps on giving and forgiving. There is no thing that will make you more awesome in appearance before God except the Christ child, Jesus, who came and gave his life on the cross to really remove all the things that are wrong with you and me. To remove our sin, to truly dress us up, but not in our own excuses, but to dress us up in His perfect righteousness, to grace us with God's love, to make us His own, and then to welcome us home, to welcome us home into a heavenly kingdom where all things truly are awesome once and for all, where there is no more sin and there is no more sorrow and there is no more pain and there is no more brokenness. It's all gone. It's all been wiped away. It's all been taken away. The psalmist invites, come and see what God has done. It's fun. It's fun to go into the city and see all the awesome sights and to enjoy all the awesome things that surround this season. But, you know, my friends, you and I have an even greater blessing that God gives to us, and not just in this season. He gives it to us every time we gather together here in God's house. Every time that we get to, and I'll say, every time that we get to, it is a privilege, it is a joy, it is something that brings me great joy to see you gather together and to hear. Every time we gather together here in God's house, it is a great blessing that God gives to you and me. We get to come and to see and to hear about God's salvation for us in His Son Jesus. And there isn't anything more awesome to behold. Let's pray. Jesus, it is an amazing and awesome time of year. As we see displays and decorations, we remember that you came to earth without any decoration, though. You came humbly to a stable in Bethlehem. But you came with amazing grace that grants us awesome blessings now and always. Thank you. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.